Andy Peters has joined the conference.
April, you want to take it away?
Agenda paper 6, the Interpretations Committee received a request seeking clarification on accounting for long-term supply contracts for raw materials in which the purchaser agrees to make significant prepayments. And the question is whether the purchaser should accrete interest on the long-term payments by recognizing interest income and a corresponding increase in the cost of inventories and, in due course, the cost of sales. The paper cites the requirements in IFRS that an interest charge is reflected separately when there are deferred settlement terms, and also the requirements of IFRS 15, which apply to both prepayments and deferred payments by customers. We think that it's clear that IFRS requires a financing component of a transaction to be presented separately. Now, when we conducted outreach on this issue in 2012, we found that some entities adjusted the contract price for financing arrangements and others did not, and that was taken to be evidence of diversity in practice. We note, however, that we have no information about whether the transactions considered in that outreach had a financing component that should have been presented separately, or whether they did not contain a financing component and consequently no adjustment was required. In our view, if the reported diversity arose because there were two different types of arrangements, the different outcomes are explained by the different facts and circumstances in the underlying transaction. We recommend, therefore, that we collect more evidence about the nature of individual supply contracts involving long-term prepayment. We suggest conducting detailed outreach that would enable us to draw out how we distinguish in each transaction whether the arrangement has a financing component or not. And once we have that information, we would reassess this issue against our agenda criteria. We note that in the discussions on IFRS 15, I think the board's sense is that if there is a significant delay between delivery and payment, or payment in advance and delivery, that would suggest by default that there's a financing component. And so we'd be looking really to see if there wasn't a financing component in that case. Any comments or suggestions?
One introductory comment. The paper includes a reference to discussion that is planned at the Emerging Economies Group meeting in December. The Russian delegation asked to bring a paper on the problems of accounting for a sack full of assets, non-financial assets that are not addressed by any IFRS. Deposits, fees for supply contracts that have no termination point, a variety of things that you would probably conclude are assets, but that aren't specifically addressed by existing standards. Having told you that, I have told you everything I know about the planned discussion because we haven't seen the paper from the Russian delegation. But I asked April to add it to her paper as a placeholder, just to let you all know. And I will obviously brief them about this discussion when they meet in Jakarta. Having said all that, Bruce?
Thanks. In short, I agree with the paper. I mean, I think we need to do outreach. We need to find out how widespread this is and how much of a challenge it is and what people's views are. I mean, I guess the only comment I had just in terms of how the paper was written is it comes back a little bit to the comments we were making earlier that is IFRS 15 becoming our new conceptual framework. And once again, we're on the cost side of things and we're bringing IFRS 15 in. And the only reason I mention it again is because if I had a dollar every time somebody mentioned the word matching to me, I'd be a very, very rich man. And, I just think we've got to be careful of that distinction. The only other thing I thought about just in light of that is IFRS 15 is very, very new. And I guess my only concern is a lot of people are going to come back to us right now and say, we're still on the theoretical side of the standard. We're still looking at it. We're still getting to grips with that. We haven't even really started thinking through the other side. So I just wonder if we're going to try and get an answer right now when we haven't really had any chance to really get into the issues on IFRS 15 yet. And I think that could... could be a little bit of a challenge, yeah?
I think an important element of the outreach would be to understand the fact patterns and the business reasons behind it.
No, agreed. I'm just commenting on where we said, you know, we'd reperform some of the outreach and clarify some of those distinctions in IFRS 15. I'm just saying I think it's going to be a little bit of a concern trying to draw some of that. I mean, the only thing also about the IFRS 15 is, you know, there are things like the practical expedience and that I think can just go out creating a few challenges. But I would agree in doing some outreach on that.
Has joined the conference.
Okay, let's go. John, Kaz, Martin, Ross.
I agree with that recommendation to conduct further outreach. I think you will find there's a fairly significant amount of these long-term prepayments in certain industries like the extractives, power industry, agriculture industries. I do think it's going to be very difficult to distinguish, though, between what's a financing component and what's some other operational factors. I'm not sure once you move away from time value of money as being financing, I'm not sure how you actually distinguish what is and isn't a financing component. I've got similar concerns with IFRS 15. But I think from further outreach that might help, and particularly outreach that focuses on the reason why the prepayment is made and what were the reasons that it was paid in advance versus being paid at the time of delivery. If we ask some of those questions in the outreach, we might get some useful input to help with the distinction.
Cass?
I also support the staff's recommendation to conduct a further outreach. And I also understand it's very difficult to distinguish the financial components and operational. Last time we discussed this and I get this brief discussion with some preparers, I think majority of them is prepayment they do to secure the raw materials or such other things. I think more like operational reason rather than financials. So I think it clarifies those for outreach. I think it would be very helpful to determine the next step.
Martin?
Yeah, I agree with the general direction. I mean, I would add that interest effects are not considered that often. However, on the other hand, one could say economically, for sure, in a way, they are, well, part of the overall negotiation of the supply contract, for sure. I would just add one comment. I mean, we are talking about interest. I would probably also would like to address the question, what is with currency? If you do this kind of prepayment in a different currency, what do you then in terms of, say, interest or what else? Because, I mean, then I would assume that also that you have in addition also to apply a different kind of interest rate, or how is this handled? Because that would then be automatically the subsequent question, because this prepayments in general are not only done in your own functional currency, but also in foreign currencies.
Point taken. Laurence.
Yes, it is acknowledged that there might be other elements than the financing components in those contracts, was mentioned reservation of capacity, but it might also be done for creditworthiness reasons. I'm hearing it is very difficult to identify whether there is a financing component, but this is true whether you are on the purchaser's side or on the seller's side. So my recommendation would be to also involve the TRG, the revenue TRG, on this issue, because there is no reason to have a different treatment from the seller or the purchaser in the identification of whether there is a financing component or not in those contracts.
Gail?
My understanding here is that we talk about to recognize a revenue, interest revenue, and there is no cash flow involved. And we will recognize a profit and in advance that should be offset by a cost later on, and in my mind this is I guess prudence or principles of cautious, but also that it's maybe theoretical correct then, but very difficult to understand, and if we could use this, we said that on the lunch here that it's only accounting, it's a little bit funny money that we talk about then. So I think it's as as a concept, it's difficult to support, so to speak. Then, of course, if you can really see that, okay, I pay 100 for this whatever item, but I get it for 98 through this financing, so I will have the same cost of sales in the end, then okay, I can understand the concept. But it's a little bit that we recognize something in advance. So I think it is totally different to have this on the other side, so to speak, to defer interest expense, because then of course you get something for that, you get financing, so forth.
But I thought the issue here, I paid cash. I gave somebody cash.
Yes.
Now, either I gave it to them for some, what April calls an operational reason, or I gave it to them because giving them 98 today is better than giving them 100 in a month.
Yes, but the accounting, as I understand it, is that they pay out 100 in cash, then I recognize 2 in interest over some time. Then I recognize 102 as inventory, and I take a cost as 102. The 2 is never a cash flow. So, I mean, we have a revenue that I recognize that I never have a cash flow for.
Again, I don't... I don't think that's the way it works, but let's let it play out the way it plays out. Tony?
I understand the analysis in the staff's paper, and I guess it seems to me that the if the accounting from the seller's side is the best reflection of the economics, you would expect to see similar accounting on the other side. And so from that perspective, I understand the logic for where the staff has got to. I also understand doing additional outreach. My sense is outreach might confirm how widespread these payments are. I think there are probably quite a lot of them, and might give some idea as to why the payments are made. I'm not sure anybody has previously thought very hard about why they do the accounting they do. So I think the focus should probably be on identifying why they think they made the payment, because I think typically interest wouldn't be accreted on these at the moment. But you could argue it one way or the other, and that's why it's come to the committee. But I think the focus ought to be on identifying why the payment has been made. I think I agree with John. I think it's going to be quite difficult to distinguish between the two. Because I look at the list of what is in paragraph 40 as for being for operational reasons, and I think, well, the purchaser might compensate the supplier for incurring upfront contract costs. Well, that sounds to me like the purchaser's financing the supplier. Doesn't sound like it's operational at all. That just sounds like it's purely finance. And the others then move along the spectrum towards maybe a payments being required for reasons of credit risk or whatever, but I think we're going to need to think quite hard, because I think once you get away from the very obvious, it's very hard to make the distinction, and that problem exists now in IFRS 15. So I think that's a long-winded way of saying, yes, I support the staff's proposal. I think the focus ought to be on why the payments are made, so we can think about how you distinguish between what's financing and what's not.
As I recall, the U.S. gap on this is very old. Dates back to the old APB opinion 21. And I have always read it to be that if you can't figure out what value to use for T in I equals PRT, then don't try to present value. That's an enormous simplification, but that's always been the way that I've interpreted it. And as I say, that APB 21 is a million years old now. So Sue, Board Member Brivlich.
I just wanted to sort of build on something that April teed up at the start, which was my recollection of the board's discussion on this issue most recently in the context of IFRS 15 was that on the ISB side, there was a very strong view that if there was a difference in timing and a difference in amount between the amount you pay today and the amount that would be paid if you'd paid ultimately on delivery, prima facie that was about time value of money, and it was a very strong concept in IFRS that it should be recognised. So I guess in relation to the outreach I think it's going to be very important, not just, not suggesting you were going to do this, but just to emphasise that we not just ask people why they did it, but that they give us as much information as they can about what the difference would have been between paying today versus paying on the sort of delivery date, if you like, and what they think that difference represented, not just, we did it for operational reasons, you know, not an intent-based, it needs to be a very, I think, evidence-based analysis to the extent we can get that evidence.
Would it be helpful, Sue, if we asked April to set up some straw men, or straw women, of potential examples that, in April's view, clearly fell on this side or that side? And then ask people to reflect on those. Not just to Sue, but to the committee. Would that be useful? I'm concerned about an open-ended, as Sue is, an open-ended invitation to tell us what you think.
I mean, my personal view is that as we go through the talking to people in detail experience, we'll get more information about the nature. And so I think it'll be an iterative thing. I think we'll be refining the questions and refining the thought process.
And I guess that does bring to mind, just to clarify, your intention that we not just send out a bunch of letters and say, what do you all think?
No, I think this is going to be
but we're
going
to have to sit out with all you all and talk to them.
Yeah.
Philippe?
If my recollection is correct, IFRS 15 speaks about a significant financing component. So here we're after a significant pre-financing component. So that should be clear why there is a difference in price which is significant. Because if there is no difference in price which is significant, presumably there is no financing component. So why is there a significant difference in price?
Okay. Martin, Charlotte, and then we'll go to the phones.
Just want to focus your attention on a point which is very, very similar to a prepayment for supply. That is an interest-free loan combined with a supply contract, which is often, well, used in similar situations. And then the question applies, well, what is more or less the difference between the net present value, so discounted at the point in time you give away this interest rate free loan, for example, for a period of 5 years of time, and the nominal amount. So what is the difference? Is it expense, or is it a certain supply right, or is it an intangible? Because you enter with this interest free loan into the supply arrangement. So there are a lot of questions combined with this, which economically are similar. Because I see no really the difference between a pure prepayment for the supply of goods and an interest-free loan, which is paid back after the supply period or after the end of the supply period.
Although with an interest-free loan, wouldn't R39 or IFRS 9 require you to impute interest to it?
Yeah,
you have to recognise that fair value on day one.
Yeah. So you have. So that means when you give away, say, 100, the net present value of this 100 would be 95. So what are you doing with the difference? Is it an intangible asset?
No, it's an expense.
Yeah, could be.
I think IAS 39 and IFRS 9 would tell you it's an expense.
Yeah.
I mean. If you say it's a financial instrument.
Yeah.
Charlotte?
I was just going to agree with the way the staff are going. I've seen the contracts which are, what's a better word, patently financing. And the reason they're done like this is to avoid having to show interest. Mm-hmm. So I'd be concerned if you found anything different. I would agree with where Sue was coming from, that I think you assume there's an interest, compare it to what a loan, a similar loan would be, and any difference is the amount you have to explain. But I would assume there was interest in this case, whether it's paid in the form of the commodity or the supply at the end, or in cash form or in something else.
Okay, as usual, a proposal that the staff do more work is broadly supported.
The phones.
Excuse me. Fei Long, anything to add?
I don't object to conduct outreach, but I also think it is quite difficult to distinguish whether it's the prepayment is arising from financing or operation.
Okay, thank you for that. Sandy?
Made about financing versus time value. In fact, I believe we included that in our letter on revenue recognition, because as an organization that teaches finance and valuation, we were struggling with how you make that distinction. But I mean, I think that the same question is going to arise here, but I think it's worth looking at the nature of the contract. But I'm skeptical, even in IFRS 15, that decision can really, really be made.
Yeah, although in fairness to April, if I recall the paper, you do point out that IAS 2 and IAS 16 talk about financing.
Yes, they
so do. That it's not a new concept that we arrived at in IFRS 15.
Sure.
All right, there's broad support. I think you've gotten some input on what the key things to tease out are and the importance of up close and personal discussions.
Yeah.